I want to begin by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation on whose land we're gathered today, unceded. Now imagine for a moment that your land has been invaded, colonised by an empire from far across the seas. You fight a bloody patriotic war in defence of your country, but soon your numbers are so depleted by violence and disease, you've no option but to go into exile to an island in Bass Strait. And you're there for 15 years, and during this time, you maintain traditional culture, but you also embrace literacy. You write over 100 documents, newspapers, letters, sermons and petitions telling your story. It's a story of survival, of resistance and agency. Yet your story is ignored as history twists your story into a grotesque extinction myth, which becomes world famous. You're depicted as a pathetic, beaten people. But this is a fiction, or as they'd say at Waibalena, it's gammon. It's quite extraordinary that these documents written by the Van Diemen's Land Aborigines have never been gathered together before, let alone studied on their own terms. Aside from Henry Reynolds's groundbreaking work with one petition, scholars have usually looked at these documents and asked, well, what can they tell us about what we already know? Not what can they tell us? I knew that a new model was needed to look at these documents, so I borrowed a concept from the sociologist Howard Becker of the hierarchy of credibility, where those with power have the right to define reality. And we know this story well. History is written by the victors, right? Well, I turn this on its head, and I deliberately privilege First Nations texts as the most credible. This sidesteps the extinction myth, which is so pervasive, and it gives back to the exiles at Waibalena their present. It's their life stories, their relationships, their hopes for a future that's not yet written in stone. What do these stories tell us? Well, the exiles at Waibalena were far from being a beaten, depressed people, simply waiting for death in a veritable concentration camp. They were actually a very proud, patriotic, and politically astute community. Their status as a free people was paramount to them. In the face of catastrophic mortality rates, they maintained language, culture, and a sense of humour, and they never lost sight of the goal of returning to the Tasmanian mainland. And this they achieved themselves with a letter-writing campaign, with letters like the one written by the two Big River kings, Alexander and Alfonso. They signed it proudly, "Me write myself." It's my privilege, and I do not use that term lightly, to work with these important documents, to rewrite this seminal chapter in Australian and world history.